Well, good morning, TNC family. From my home to wherever you are on this second Sunday in August, will you join me now in praying the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm chapter 9? I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, because you are a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in troubled times. Indeed, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you today about where heroes are made. And let's start in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, where we learn that, quote, after the death of Moses, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, any idea what God's going to say? Now, you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan River to the land I am giving the Israelites. In other words, Joshua loses a mentor, leader, and friend, becomes the new leader of the people, and God says to him, we're moving forward. Prepare to cross over. And this is not, hey, cross over, then we'll cross back. Take a weekend trip there for reflection, grieving, remembering, and then return home here. It's not, hey, take some R&R there, then come back here. No, this is the ending of one season, standing at the threshold of another, and then crossing into that new era. And so it's a moment of anticipation, anxiety, impatience, fear, possibility, excitement, uncertainty, hope, transition, moving from one reality to another. And TNC, if you'll just pause and think about it for a second, then you'll know this. Transitions are part of life. They are simply part of the human experience, whether you want the transition or not. And there are all kinds of transitions, even this weekend, as we leave summer vacation and cross over into a new school year, new routines for parents and new schools or teachers for students, as they move from elementary to middle school to high school to college. Transitions also come with changing jobs or changing job descriptions, or moving out of one home and into another, or from one city to another. Or, and let's up the level of the transition, it might be the arrival of a new child, as our dear TNC friends Z and Bing just welcomed little Cindy into the world last month. Or it might be that your child is heading off to college and your home will be quieter for the first time in 18 years. It might be a transition of giving up that habit or starting a new one or transitioning from one hobby to another. It might be a transition where you're going from being single to being married, or from being married to being single again. It might be a transition where you finally ask for forgiveness after all those years, or finally release your anger and forgive somebody else, and so you enter a new era of freedom. Or, as was the case for Joshua and the people of God when Moses died, it might be grieving the loss of a loved one and trying to figure out how you will move forward without that one in your life in the same way anymore. because transitions are simply part of the human experience. And again, you'll know this. Some transitions are voluntary, but others are not. But they're all inevitable. And it doesn't much matter if you try to avoid them, because they will choose you. And so to run from transitions is to run from both reality and responsibility. And so we must learn to embrace them. In the words of Bruce Feiler, best-selling author of 15 books, including most famously Walking the Bible and Council of Dads, but who last year published a book all about transitions called Life is in the Transitions, quote, "If we view transitions as aberrations, we risk that they will become missed opportunities. But if we view them as openings, we just might open up to them." He says, transitions are not going away. The key to benefiting from them is not to turn away. Don't shield your eyes when the scary parts start, because that's when the heroes are made. And so in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua is about to go through a transition, a crossover into a new land, into a new situation. And as Joshua stands at the threshold of this transition, God wants him to know, "I will go with you." Verse 3, "I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses." Verse 4, "Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west." Verse 5, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." And TNC, that promise is for us too. I'm saying no matter what transition you are going through, good, bad, average, small, medium, large, huge, whatever transition you are facing, you have to know to your core, even if you don't feel it, you have to know that the God of a billion galaxies is saying to you, as he said to Joshua, "As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses." So, prepare to cross over, God says. That's right, there's a promise, but it's a promise that will only be fulfilled if Joshua prepares. Because there's this link between the work of preparation and the realization of the promise. Which, let's be honest, is a huge bummer for some people, because, you know, I was hoping I was going to go to bed one night and wake up the next morning in the promised land. Oh, who could that be? "Hi, I'm your new boyfriend. Hi, I'm your new girlfriend. Hi, I'm your new body. Here's the winning lottery ticket. Oh, I'm your new attitude." Listen, TNC, reality does not work that way. God tells Joshua, "I will give you the land, but it's not just going to show up at your doorstep. You will have to prepare." In other words, there's a promise, but it comes with a prescription, and the prescription of your promise is prepare. And in this conversation in the text between Joshua and God, God doesn't just say prepare in some sort of abstract way. The awesome thing about this text is God actually gives some wisdom for the crossover, some tips for the transition, some practical encouragement to give Joshua the strength he'll need for the new era. and its wisdom for how you and I can move through our transitions as well. How to deal with illness or loss, how to leave one job and start another, how to move from your teenage years into your 20s, your 20s into your 30s, how to move from being double income, no kids, to being a parent, from being a parent to being an empty nester, from empty nester to grandparent, how to move from agility and enjoying top 40 radio into aging and trying to figure out how to create an oldies station on your smartphone. And so in the time that remains, what I want to do is explore God's counsel to Joshua, and by extension, his counsel to you and me today for the transitions that we face. And what I want to do is just share with you four bits of counsel for your crossover that is embedded in this text. So here we go. Number one, first bit of counsel for your crossover. Number one, prioritize your character. Because the stronger your character is, the greater your potential to move through the transition and discover on the other side a better land. Verse 7, God tells Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left. Keep this book. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night." And I hope you hear it, friends, because these verses are all about inner strength, inner focus, inner attention, developing courage, focus, the right meditations, absorbing and living from the right values. Notice step one of the transition has nothing to do with declutter your closet, cancel your utilities, transfer some money, go on a vacation, contact a lawyer, shut down and just watch Netflix for the weekend until your grief is past. None of that. It's pay attention to your character. Because inside victories almost always precede outside ones, because character growth is the most important part of a successful crossover. Which means you and I have to pay attention to everything, all the things, media, music, activities, relationships, prayer, these scriptures, all the inputs that will shape our characters as we move through the transition. And we can't allow the commotion and the emotion of our transition to result in neglecting these activities that will strengthen our character. Which is why God tells Joshua, "Joshua, look, you have a big transition ahead, so double down on embracing the heart and the focus of these scriptures. Double down on love and generosity, and double down on serving others and taking time for prayer and meditation and worship. Because these are the tools that will give you the character you need to cross over the threshold you are at and into a land of greater promise. And heroes are made in the transitions." Now, by the way, listen carefully. If you don't feel like you're going through a transition right now, that doesn't mean you can turn this teaching off. Because character cannot be summoned at the moment of crossover or crisis, after years of squandering it in compromise and rationalization. Which means today is the day to prepare for tomorrow's unknown crossover. So, first point, will you prioritize every thought and activity in order to strengthen your character? Number one, first counsel for your crossover, prioritize your character. Number two, the second bit of counsel for your crossover. Number two, look ahead. Because after God tells Joshua, I will give you this land. Then chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us, quote, so Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent out two men as spies. Go, he said, look over the land. Look over the land and check out Jericho. Because part of doing a transition well is looking over the land of your promise before entering it. Mapping out how you're going to navigate the transition. Thinking through what will likely be obstacles and pitfalls, as well as opportunities and your sources of strength. You know, gathering intel, doing recon on the realities, figuring out some facts, mapping out your next move. Which reminds me of the story Gary Mack tells in his book Mind Gym, where he interviews athletes about how they prepare for big games. And in the book, he interviews Pele, one of the greatest soccer players to ever play the game. And he asks him, how did you get ready to play in these big, intense situations? And Pele said that he would go into the locker room and grab two towels, and he would lay down all by himself and put a towel under his head and one on his face, and all by himself, he would just work on his breathing. And then he would go back to his childhood in his mind and imagine playing soccer on the beach as a kid when he wasn't playing for money or national pride, but just for the love of the game because he loved the sport. And he would try to hear the wind and smell the sea and feel the sand under his feet. And he would think of himself playing soccer with his buddies for hours on the beach and how much they laughed. Then he would fast forward and remember the highlight reel of his career, his best moments when he had played exactly like he had wanted. And he would remember the feeling and the feel of the ball in those moments. And after that, he told Mac, he would think about what was before him that day, what he would face, what his opponent would try to do to discourage and disrupt him. And he would feel himself in that moment ahead and how he would respond. And he would play in his mind the match before the match. See the moves he would make in those situations, and he would see the victory. And then Pele said he would sit up, game over before it even started, and he would join his team for the game. He had watched himself win before it even started. So now, think about your transition. New boss, new home, new job description, new habit, new routine, new reality. Think about your transition. What will be your obstacles, temptations, discouragements? And what and who will be your advantages? Who and what will you lean into during this time? Go, Joshua says, go, look over the land. Check out Jericho. See the game before the game, because heroes are made in the transitions. First, prioritize your character. Second, look ahead to the land you are about to enter. And then number three, the third counsel for your crossover is, number three, break camp today. Break camp today. Chapter 3, verse 2. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God carried by the Levitical priests, you are to break camp. Break camp and follow it. In other words, when you see the step to take, don't wait until tomorrow. because the most important move of your crossover, of your transition, will take place today. I listened not long ago to an interview with Kenny Dichter, who is the CEO of Wheels Up, a privately held aviation company. Dichter just recently was awarded the honor of ringing the bell at the New York Stock Exchange. He's an entrepreneur and has started several businesses. His first he actually started while a sophomore in college at the University of Wisconsin in 1987, where he started selling t-shirts, mostly Wisconsin Badgers t-shirts, in dormitories and outside the stadiums. And his design was so popular that his t-shirt business boomed, selling hundreds and then thousands of shirts. University of Wisconsin shirts with Bucky the Badger on them. But what he didn't know at the time was that a licensing company called Collegiate Licensing, led by Bill Battle and based right here in Atlanta, represented schools in their licensing programs. And so Battle, partnering with the University of Wisconsin, controlled the rights to the Bucky the Badger logo. And one day, Dichter's like a junior now, he gets a phone book-sized cease and desist document dropped on his doorstep. And now I'm quoting from the interview. Dichter said, "It felt like 400 pages, and on the last page is a cease and desist order and a $10 million claim for damages, and then signed by Bill Battle and Bruce Shapiro." He said, "So, I didn't get on the phone, I didn't call a lawyer, I took the document, and I drove in my black Pathfinder from Wisconsin to Atlanta over 800 miles to meet Bill Battle and Bruce Shapiro. And I sat in their office for 6 or 7 hours because I didn't have an appointment." Dichter says, "The assistant finally realized I wasn't leaving until I saw Bill Battle. And so finally, at the end of the day, I did. And I sat down and Bill Battle told me that he sends these out all the time for universities everywhere, thousands of them, but that I was the only one to respond in person, not ignoring and not responding through a lawyer or not sending a letter back. And Bill told me that it wasn't an actual lawsuit, it was a warning to cease and desist. And Bill told me to drive back to Wisconsin, stop the printing of the t-shirts, and we could all consider the matter over." And so, he says, "I got back into my black Pathfinder, drove back, and stopped printing." Fast forward 10 years later, and Dichter is getting ready to start a business he needs some investment capital for, some money, and he's trying to get some money together, and he thinks of Bill Battle, who he hasn't spoken to in 10 years. And then only that one day. So he calls Bill Battle and he says, "Hi, it's Kenny Dichter. I don't know if you remember me, but I drove a cease and desist document down to you from Wisconsin 10 years ago. And Bill said, "I remember, what are you up to?" And Dichter says, "I'm looking to launch a business and need some capital, some investors, and I'd like to meet with you and show you the business and the business plan." And Bill responds, "Kenny, I don't need to see it. Just send me your wire information and count me in as your partner." And Dichter, describing this in the interview, went on to say that he never imagined that responding immediately that day to the cease and desist letter, driving down to Atlanta to meet with Bill Battle, would reap benefits decades later. But he said, "You just never know how what you do today will impact you tomorrow." Friends, the most important step you will ever take in your transition as you move toward a new reality, as you move across a threshold, the most important step you will take today as you stack one day on top of another, on top of another. "But David, I don't have my walking shoes." And I still have half a bag of Cheetos left. Don't want to waste them. And I have to stay up late. The big game is on, and plus it's her fault, and he's the one who needs to change, and that'll take too long, and my finances are just too confusing, and my inner peace left the building a long time ago. Friends, stop the excuses, because your breakthrough will begin when your excuses end. And you figure out just the one thing you can do today to navigate the transition. And then you do it, and you just start stacking up day after day after day of the right move. Because if you want to cross over, then starting tomorrow is too late. You'll have to break camp today. Seek the wisdom of a friend today. Set up an appointment today. Order a book today. Have a conversation today. Put one action step into motion today. Because what you do today will lead you to your next step tomorrow and to a realized future unrealizable unless you break camp today. So first, prioritize your character. Second, look toward the land of promise. Third, break camp today. And finally, the last counsel for your crossover is this. Number four, follow the leader. Follow the leader. Notice again verse 2. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God carried by the Levitical priests, you are to break camp and follow. Verse 4, but keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between yourselves and the ark. Don't go near it so that you can see the way to go. For you haven't traveled this way before. Now, this is about you not trying to be in control. You not trying to be the leader. You not setting up yourself as an expert in everything. This is about humility and trusting and following God's wisdom. It's about humility and trusting and following experts in fields where you're not an expert. This is about staying in a position of following, for you haven't traveled this way before. Because the key to success in the future is almost always trusting someone who knows the future, who knows which ways work and won't. Because if you think about it, mostly your problems are only a problem if you're following the wrong person. In other words, a leaky faucet is not a problem if a qualified plumber is taking the lead. Sailing a sailboat isn't a problem if a qualified sailor is taking the lead. Hiking a trail isn't a problem if you're following a guide who has been on the trail before. Because they will see things that you can't see and know things you don't know. And part of doing transitions well is following the lead of the right people, the right person. And as you do, you will begin to not only perceive things you thought were once imperceivable, but you'll begin to receive strength to do what feels impossible as you follow the leader. And you'll experience God's words to Joshua being true for you. Verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Verse 4, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, prepare to cross over. Let's pray. And I want to conclude with the prayer of Numbers chapter 6. And I pray this for your life and for your situation and for your transitions And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.